Blog Talk Radio.
I'm pushing you away from me, hoping this is make believe. I caught up your name in the rain. Why fuck you put me to shame? I'm crawling deep within my skin. Pulling this pain that ever end. I'm lost awakening within my torture that will now begin.
All right.
Hello. Hello, 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 and welcome to the next installment of Voltage Paranormal Radio, featuring your host, Madman 2012, with co-host Lex Hotep. Welcome, Lex Hotep. How are you today?
Yes, I'm doing fine. Better known as the Nazi UFO commander.
Nazi UFO Nazi headhunter UFO commander. You'd like to stick their heads on a pike. Are you not? Well, we were just talking earlier on our other broadcast about 30 minutes ago on Voltage Paranormal Radio, talking about mythology and its cohesion with modern UFO reports, alien reports, abduction, and demonic infestation reports. People, in other words, people who have said to have had contact with demonic forces, whether they be spiritual or physical. So I guess we're just going to expand upon that a little more. My question to you were talking
about how the soul is different than a spirit and how these things have no souls. Could you expand on that a little more?
Well, I mean, there's not much to expand on other than that. I mean, there's no actual proof of it, but biblically speaking, that they're different. The spirit being your life force, that which gives your physical being life, allows it all to work. Everything works in cohesion. There's a spiritual force, an unseen force, kind of like gravity or something. But there's an actual intelligence to it. Well, gravity, there may be an actual intelligence too. I mean, not saying, but I'm just saying that there's an actual, perhaps, intelligence or sentience to it. That, you know, but a soul is the heavenly body. When one is resurrected and lives within eternity. In the heavenly realm, it's not your spiritual body, it's your soul, it's not your life force, it's the continuation of life and the vessel that is necessary to experience, you know, to live within that realm. There are two different things. The spirit is, I guess, essentially grounded to this realm, this area of existence where the soul is not. And biblically, I believe, you know, people will argue this, I guess, but, and that's fine. I mean, it can be debated, it should be debated. But I think, I mean, I believe from what my reading is that the soul is something we do not possess yet, that will be given to us at another point after resurrection or whatever. And I'm not trying to agree with the Seventh-day Adventists or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Church of Christians or I'm not trying to agree with anybody. That is just my interpretation of what I've read in Scripture.
That's right. I'm not trying to brainwash anybody out there.
You're not saying I'm necessarily right. But, I mean, I'm sure that anybody can, you know, make a verse out of the Bible and throw it at me showing me how wrong I am. But, you know, I'm talking as a body of work, as a whole, that's where it leads to, not just one specific little verse, but as a body of work, you see. So that's where I get my interpretation from. Not just that, though. Well, no, it is just that, because it's really, you know, the Old Testament doesn't even, I don't think Jews believe in an afterlife. You know, those who have the Jewish faith. I know they don't believe in a hell. And I don't believe in a hell either. This eternal damnation for the spiritually wicked. You're going to be, you know, tortured by these little demonic fellows for eternity. Well, that's not true. That's just some, what that is. That, actually, that is pagan belief that it was that the Romans instilled into Christianity early on in order to, you know, scare the Jesus out of you and make you do what they want you to do. I mean, there's other reasons, but that's a big one. There's no eternal suffering. Not biblical.
Right.
Biblically speaking, Jesus talks about Gehenna, but, you know, Gehenna is a, and he does liken it to Hades, hell, or whatever. You know, where the what Gehenna actually is, though, is a place where they threw their refuse, their trash, and burned it. Along with dead bodies, too, sometimes. They just throw out there. They didn't have time, like there was a war or a pestilence or something that killed many people. And they didn't have time to bury them appropriately. They would just throw them out there and burn them. And he likens it to that. And it really, in the fire, because it was always smoldering, it was always burning because they burnt the trash. You can imagine Rome, pretty big city, the trash, you know, probably piled up on a daily basis, and they're daily burning it out there, right? So it was apparently always burning, always smoldering. He likened it to that. But see, what a lot of Christians don't realize is that whenever you see the word fire in the Bible, 99.9% of the time it's a metaphor for truth, not actual burning. Yeah. 99.9% of the time it's a metaphor, parable, whatever, for truth. And Gehenna being this everlasting separation from truth. What I interpret it as is this: people who aren't worthy of heaven, who do not, for whatever reason, take God up on His offer, are not given a soul. Their life is just simply extinguished, and it's as if they never lived. Their name is taken from the book of life.
The book of life.
They're not tossed into a magma-filled cauldron underneath the earth to burn eternally and be tortured. That's just simple, ridiculous, pagan, now Christian, BS.
Yeah, what kind of loving God would send their offspring to burn in hell for eternity?
Not one I want to have anything to do with.
So back on the UFO connection, where do you think that fits in with the aliens?
How do UFOs fit in with aliens? Is that your question? That's simple.
Yeah.
Apparently they drive them. Well, let's define UFO, unidentified flying object. That could be anything we don't recognize in the sky. So, you know, the ones specific to, I suppose, alien beings. An alien, let's define alien. Let's not say means only something or a life force or creature or body from another planet, but also let's include other dimensions. Because it's more likely that's what, to me, through my research, studies, and investigations, it's more likely to me now. Now, I know there's those out here that will debate this, as should be debated. It should be debated. But I don't think they're coming from other planets. I just don't see that right now, and I could be wrong, and usually I am, as a viable explanation for the intensity of reports and things that we get on a daily basis. These things move on daily, getting reports. Okay. Somewhere right now, somebody somewhere right now, and I'm going to say within this country, on this continent, is having a paranormal experience with something they believe to be from another planet. Whether that be just they see a light shimmering in the sky that they don't recognize, or what have you. Perhaps they're being abducted. I don't know. It runs the gamut. But I don't believe it's the alien. I see the contradiction in that, actually. Because if you like it, what we call alien from another planet today, 1,000 years ago, they called demonic. You would see the report of the succubus or the incubus doing this and that. Or the shadow figure doing this. Or this person having such and such experience with beings that they consider to be interdimensional. And that's just kind of my school of thought, too. It just makes more sense. I go back, a lot of people, first of all, a lot of people think ancient man was ignorant and stupid and had no fucking clue. So anything they said, wrote, did, painted, or anything like that was just a bunch of mumbo-jumbo idiocy because they thought the world was flat and had no freaking clue. Well, actually, Europeans thought the world was flat. A certain amount of Europeans thought the world was flat. Those that were under the control of the Roman Catholic Church thought the world was flat. Other than that, the rest of the world was in a renaissance. You had the Muslims inventing algebraic equations and science and things that we hold dear today. You had a measuring the circumference of the earth to a specific degree and getting it right. Only the idiots, not almost the idiots, only the poor suckers who were subjected to the inhumanity that the Roman Catholic Church has been allowed to perpetrate upon humanity for 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years, 1,600 years, have been kept in ignorance and are destroyed for saying otherwise.
I heard MUFON gets about 12,000 sightings a month.
Yeah, they do. And that's just reported, bro. How many pilots, how many people, there's respectable, and I'm doing hand quotes right now, respectable physicians simply don't report what they experience for fear of being admonished or for fear of being made fun of.
About 1 in 10 probably report it.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's 1 in 10, but let's say that three-quarter of the actual sightings are being reported. So that's another 3,000 to 4,000 that are not on a monthly basis being reported. And that's being extremely conservative with that figure. I think it's more like half. I think probably only half are actually being reported and taken seriously. You know, but let's define UFO. See, my opinion on this UFO situation is if it's got blinking light, it's not alien. It's not from another dimension. What on earth with aliens from another dimension or even another planet have need for blinking lights on their ship.
Right, right. I see what you're saying.
People don't think about it like that.
Yeah.
They don't connect the dots sometimes, unfortunately, because they're taught not to. They're taught to.
In fact,
I guess they're, you know, it's okay to think it's a group, but use your heads. I mean, seriously, what are blinking lights on airplanes used for? To denote position to other, among other things, though, but to denote position to other vehicle in the area that, hey, I'm here. To have a physical bearing, a view of that, not just radar, not just tower calling in and saying this is here, but to have a physical viewpoint, an aspect of where that vehicle, that craft is, in case you encounter it. That's all they're for, man. Well, not all they're for, but one of the main reasons they're there. So why would they, these ships who are so technologically advanced, so far beyond anything that we could conceive of, need with blinking lights?
Yeah. The truly anomalous ones do not even have any lights at all. That's,
no,
that
they
actually
glow on their own. They glow on their own. The entire craft will glow. It can morph into different shapes and do all kinds of crazy things, not just disappear or appear to take off and be gone. And that's not to say they don't glow. It's that lights in the sky, that every light in the sky that you see that's unexplained isn't what you, like an alien craft or whatever, for lack of a better, because these things do glow. It would appear that they are manipulating the gravitational force around them. In other words, they're not actually traveling from point A to point B, but bringing point B to point A. And in doing so, are able to give the physical appearance that they are traveling at a high rate of speed when they're actually setting still. And in doing so also causes an anomalous glow about the craft itself. The entire craft. These triangles that people see with all these lights on them, I believe are us. And I think you're going to see this more and more, especially since we're done with the space shuttle technology. We're completely through with that. And it's not because we're not interested in going into space, but it's because we're taking the next leap in technology, perhaps in not only in appearance of the craft itself and the way it functions, but in its ability to, you know, instead of using fossil fuels and rockets, it has a different type of you know, way of propelling itself. A lot of people I've heard of a school of thought that say that we do have the ability to use, to manipulate gravity now, and to use that as a way of travel.
But where did we get that ability?
It's a simple science, man. E equals MC squared is how old?
60, 70, 80, 80 years old.
100. 100 years old.
Yeah.
1912. Okay? Seriously. It's 100 years old. Tesla, his technology, his desire to give people free electricity by broadcasting it, and other technologies that this man is said to have not maybe necessarily discovered, but rediscovered and tapped into and found ways to utilize. The government has had this stuff for, you know, 100 years and, you know, 50, 70 years, and has been experimenting with this. We didn't have microwave ovens till we had the 50s, yet they were using microwave technology in the armed forces in the 20s, in World War I, as a means of communication.
Right.
So the military is always 50 years or more ahead of the curve as far as consumer products and the things that we use. So let's just say
that's true.
75 years, let's say they're even 50 years ahead of where we are now, and we've kind of been stuck in a rut, technologically speaking, as far as a consumer advantage or standpoint for, since the Industrial Revolution. I mean, we've seen things come along, flight and vehicles and technological, you know, the internet, things like that, fiber optics, and I mean, the list goes on and on. But who used all this before it was in consumers' hands? Military, the military-industrial complex.
That's right.
Right. So they're very, very, if they're just 50 years ahead of where we are now, think of where we are now, today. Well, let's say they're 50 years. Well, who's to say they haven't found a way to use quartz crystals as a means of fuel? I mean, I'm just throwing it, I don't know, but I'm saying. But let's take that a step further. Oh, no, let's take that a step backwards. Let's say that we haven't discovered shit, that we're just rediscovering technologies that were used, I don't know, 150,000 years ago by a civilization that some people call Atlantis, a worldwide civilization that left behind monolithic wonders that we today would be hard-pressed to reproduce.
And the runes on the moon and Mars?
Right. You know, that there was a civilization at one time that traveled the solar system, if not the universe itself. In Chinese, this ain't Chinese mythology, dude. This is in Chinese writing. I forget what it's called. I'm just not aware of it right now. It was written, I don't know, 3,000, maybe 4,000 years ago. It talks about the emperor ending trips to the moon because people were starving. Yeah, people were starving and they needed to take the money and invest it in the feeding of the nation as opposed to unnecessary trips to the moon.
Yeah, his name, the emperor's name was, it was the first emperor, and he was supposedly from the stars. His name was Wangdi.
Yeah, Wangdi. He had a dragon, did he not?
Yeah. Yeah, that's who you're talking about there.
Yeah, Wangdi. And then, well, would he be the same character that the Mayans worship?
Oh, Kukulkan or Viracocha or Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah. Yeah, would it be the same one of them characters, you think? Same guy?
It very well could be. Yalambakti, you know, was the Mayan one.
Mayan was Yalambakti, yeah. Kukulkan was.
Yeah.
Aztec.
Aztec.
Yeah.
Viracocha was Incan.
Incan.
Yeah.
They're all reptilian gods that had spaceships. You know what kind of gets me, though?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Really. What kind of gets me is you see these Mayan, Aztec, and Incan depictions on, you know, whatever, and you'll see this guy inside of a suit that everybody goes, oh, well, that's got to be a space suit. Why in the hell would an advanced race, let me just throw this out there, an advanced race that can travel the stars need with a 60s-style spacesuit?
Yeah, you'd think they'd have some kind of force field they could put around themselves or something.
Or whatever. The technology would be a hell of a lot more advanced than 1950s fusion, we got a problem. You know what I'm saying? I think those depictions are probably more along the lines of underwater pressure suits.
Either that, or it could be us that developed that technology way back when. Yeah.
Right, way back when, that they are familiar with, that was orally passed down through tradition until finally written down, because language and stuff was rediscovered after a great cataclysm that destroyed most of everything that lived on the earth, except a small pocket of humanity that had to start over, that did not have technology or anything at its behest any longer. And that's where our history begins. And we refuse to look beyond that and give it, in spite of all of the evidence.
That's right. How come
ancient man is so stupid?
Yeah.
Somehow ancient man is so stupid that they must have been just a bunch of idiots who didn't know what they were talking about.
But there are footprints in stone next to dinosaurs, you know, in hot magma that evidently cooled off. It looks like tennis shoes.
Well, that's a different set of problems that we must solve there. But yeah, they have. It's where the hot ash came down from the volcanic explosion and quickly. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, I mean, you read the Bible, it talks about behemoths, and it talks about animals so large they can swing their tails like pines, like the cedars or whatever, which can be 100 foot tall in the Middle East. And that's not a hippopotamus. Like your Sunday school teacher may want you to believe. Oh, they're talking about a hippo. No, there were dinosaurs, what we call dinosaurs. Oh, if you look at the DARPA stones or whatever. Now, I know these are controversial because you have had a lot of the natives say, well, we did do some of those ourselves in order to sell them to the white folks that were down here visiting. But you can tell the difference between theirs and the original ones because they're a total different style. And a totally different technology used to cut them. Do you know what I'm familiar with, what I'm talking about?
The drop
of stone? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you've got the pictures. Go ahead.
Supposedly, they found like three bodies with those, too, that were not human.
Right. Well, they've got the elongated skull. Oh, that's another thing we could talk about and do it on. We could do 5-10 show, maybe more on this, just that alone. Where's the statue of suture on those?
Yeah, really. There is none.
You know, none. There isn't one, which means it's not human. You do not stretch skulls of a baby. They do not have that suture. Period.
So true.
And science just refuses to acknowledge that because of evolution, and they're force feeding this theory that man used to be an ape, that whales used to be a large canine, that something can become something that it's not over a period of time, because they have this theory that they have to be, that has to be correct. And it's a religion, folks. Just attack it and see how religious they get, how quick they come to the defense of their religion.
That's right.
Darwin
they
is
do,
their
and,
god.
And they're pretty brainwashed.
The Smithsonian, the Smithsonian won't even acknowledge these giants that Abraham Lincoln commissioned to the Smithsonian himself. That we have it. We have his writings, his commissioned writings saying that it happened. And you know what I'm saying? And so they just ignore it. They won't even show it. It's just because it doesn't fit into the theory of evolution anyway.
Well, We're out of time, bud. Is there anything you want to tell the audience?
No, just think for yourselves. Think for yourselves. Whether you're right or wrong, whether I'm right or wrong, don't even listen to me. Listen to yourself. Don't listen to your preacher. Don't listen to your neighbor. Don't listen to your mom and dad. Listen to your health, to yourselves. Educate yourself. Listen to yourself. Information's out there. It's funding. It's available.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, I guess we're out of here, brother. Madman, I'm our Lexotep. I'm Madman, and I'm saying I'm out.
I'm out.
Peace.